It's a little known fact that Batman has had many, many Robins in his 80-year career. Among those forgotten Robins are Stephen Bauer, Salvatore Barrera, Kent Daw Doring Heinesen, Daniel Sheldon, Cheryl Annette Baker, and David Marble, who was actually Robin in the first week of January 1988. Oddly enough, none of them are dead, but no one knows where they are. However, this one goes out to them.
Major Spoilers theme song!
The Major Spoilers podcast is on the air. On the air. The Major Spoilers podcast is on the air. On the air. Podcast.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Rodrigo.
And I'm Steven. If you're listening to the Major Spoilers podcast,
The Major Spoilers podcast is on the air.
Welcome to issue 489 of the Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the Major Spoilers experience. Rodrigo is still out. I think he comes back next week.
Yay.
I think he's back from his extendo vacation. And he is back next week.
I wish I could take as much time off as he did.
Yeah, but he saves it up throughout the entire year.
And I don't mean that in a horrible... That's what I'm saying. I don't mean that in a horrible sort of, Rodrigo takes too much time. I really wish I could take a vacation for like a week or two.
And you know what? Yeah, but you had like a 3-month vacation when you were in between jobs.
I was unemployed.
That's a vacation.
I've been in vacation to some people.
And it was a paid vacation too.
I still had two jobs during that time.
I had this time off. The university is closed. Yeah. They make an official close that we closed on that Friday afternoon. I took half a day off on Friday because I was trying to do some last minute Christmas shopping since the apocalypse didn't occur. And it's been closed until the 2nd of January when we all had to trudge back to work. So we were off for like a week and a half, something like that.
Pretty good.
But I didn't get, it was no vacation for me. I cleaned up more of the office. This looks better now.
It's nice.
Zach and I shot a bunch of video stuff one day.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were out a day. I spent one day shoveling snow multiple times with my snow blower.
7.5 inches.
Is that how much we got?
That's what it said in the news tonight.
I believe it because,
last year
my back got so sore from shoveling all the time and I was like, I just can't do this. I'm going to have to get a snow blower.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year in 2012 or whenever, when we had, well, I guess it was 2011. When we had that snowstorm that dumped like 8 inches on there, I got it that day that the storm was coming in.
Nice.
And I got one of the last snowblowers and it was great. Saved my back. And this year I was really concerned because I was like, man, I didn't get to use my snowblower at all this year. It's been sitting out there all lonely.
Why would you say that?
And then in the last day, last day of the year, boy, we get dumped on. And I went out 3 different times. My wife called at noon and said she was going to go pick up the kids and come home. And I was like, well, there's a couple inches out there. Let me go out there and clean the driveway off so she doesn't slip and slide trying to get into the garage. Got that cleaned off and it's so fast.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to get a snowblower. I mean, I had that driveway. Normally, if I was shoveling that, it'd take about an hour.
Yeah.
It took like 15 minutes to get the entire driveway and sidewalks clean. And then towards the end of the day, my wife was like, I think you probably need to go take care of that again because it's getting kind of deep. And I thought the snow was tapering off. And I was like, okay, sure, fine. We'll try to get some pizza delivered or something. Pizza didn't deliver because of the storm.
Really?
So I did it again. And then the next morning, I was needed to go to the gas station to take care of a air pressure in my tires.
Mm.
And I opened the garage door, and there's another 3 inches on the ground. And I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So I got it out again. So I've got to use it 3 times.
Look at that. So you know what I do for my snow removal? I just put it, it's in our contract that our landlord does all of
it.
They bring their just huge tractor.
Yeah, most apartment complexes, that's the
place we lived before, it was like, do your own crap.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, and when I was renting a long, long time ago, the rental agency would take care of it, but it may take them, because they were managing so many properties, it may take them a day and a half to get to you.
Yeah.
So there were often times where I was borrowing a shovel from somebody across the street and shoveling that sidewalk as a kid. But I hate shoveling snow. Matthew, did you get 7.5 inches?
Oh, no.
How much snow did you get?
Oh,
okay.
That's nothing.
That's nothing.
Nice.
Nothing. I don't mind the snow.
I hate it because it's cold, but it was a nice snow. Like, it wasn't like, like the snow yesterday wasn't like swirling and crazy blizzard. It was like, I walked outside to go get some stuff for New Year's Eve, and It was gentle and nice. Yeah, yeah. It was quiet. I was like, oh, if I liked winter, this would probably be really nice. But I don't. So
I love winter when you get that first blanket of snow, right? And it's nice and crisp on the ground, and it's white.
Yeah.
And I love it up until the point where the cars drive through it, and then it becomes a muddy, dirty, gross-looking experience. And it's I'm done with snow at that point. I love the concept. Hate the cold. Yeah, it's gray and disgusting slush. I hate it. I hate it. Matthew, did you have a car wreck this week?
Uh-uh.
Oh, because your Facebook page had a picture of a van I thought was yours that was all mangled up. And I thought maybe you were in a car wreck.
Oh, that's years and years ago.
Oh, okay.
I was going through my email because I had 22 pages of Steven. And I'm like, do I really need
all of
to
them,
know what's
all
coming
of them
from our
unanswered and unread, I might add.
Many of them in the spam folder, actually. But... No, that's a car that had crashed in 2006 or so. It was basically a van versus curb sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
For which I give the person who was driving endless amounts of hell, too, because it was kind of funny.
Was it you
once
driving?
Once I got over the fact that it was total new.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, I'm glad you weren't in a car accident.
I am, too.
Let us get to Zach on Film.
Yahoo!
Zach on Film.
So a couple of weeks ago, actually 3 or 4 weeks ago, Zach had reviewed Avengers Arena.
Yep.
And he had commented it's very much like that movie. And I think you were making a reference to Hunger Games. And everyone's like, Zach, don't you know it's Battle Royale? In fact, one of the covers.
Yes, I did.
Is the Battle Royale.
Just clarifying that.
But Zach had never seen the film.
No.
And I happened to, I didn't have a copy. I still can't find my copy. But I had you get it off the iTunes.
I actually got one of the Hastings.
My copy is at Hastings?
I think so, yeah. My disc said Steven Schleicher on it. I didn't give it to you because I just didn't think it was necessary.
So what'd you do? You rented it from Hastings?
Yeah, I rented it from Hastings. They had
and it's
it there.
The uncut?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the director's cut.
Oh, the director's cut.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
Okay, so Battle Royale.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I've never seen it, but...
Give us the breakdown of this story.
All right. So, future of Japan. Craps hit the wall. Government is fed up with kids not going to school and being jerkwads to everyone and authority. So, they come up with this thing called the Battle Royale Act or some legislation where it's pretty much you're going to kill each other.
Well, to keep the kids in line.
But, okay, here's my problem with that. It seemed, okay, so the movie starts, and they're kind of doing, one of the first scenes is a news reporter, like, oh, they're the last ones here. And they show this just blood-drenched girl in the teddy bear, like, smiling. She's smiling. And so, it's like, oh, okay, so everyone knows about this Battle Royale, and these kids are killing each other. But then when they choose the class for that Battle Royale of that year, and they get him into the building, none of the kids have any idea what the frick's
because
going on.
Because it's not a televised show, right? But these kids are, it's first of all, it's random, right?
Right, it's
random. So kids don't know which group is going to do it. They just know it's this class range, ninth graders or something like that. And so the idea is these kids go to this island, and every day an update comes out from the island of who's alive and who's dead, and that's what gets out to the rest of the world. So people know that people are dying until the very end when they're rushing the island to find out who the sole survivor is sole survivor comes out. My impression was that it was a way to keep these kids in line because you could be that group of kids that gets taken and put into the Battle Royale and you could die.
Right.
And so that's supposed to kind of keep all the kids in line. So they do freak out when they get to the island and they're told they have to kill one another.
I think they freak, because they explain what they have to do. I think they freaked out. But it seemed to me that it wasn't like, oh, crap, we are the ones selected and we know what's already to happen. It was like, once they explained what was happening, then they freaked out. Which wasn't a big thing, I might have just read it wrong.
Well, but in the other thing, too, that they're essentially kidnapped, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah. No, they're going on a class trip and they completely gassed, like the 41 kids and their teacher.
So they don't know what's going on.
Right.
They don't know that is how you're taken and put into the competition. Well, so
in their
minds, there's just a bunch of crazy terrorists have just kidnapped us and we don't know what's going on until they finally are told, Welcome to the Battle Royale. And then they're like, oh my God, we're going to have to kill one another. Does that make sense?
This is like the, in the movie, this is like the 50th year they've been doing it too.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't like the,
I'm sure people know what's happening.
But right. So then I thought,
you're kind of breaking up there, Matthew.
Cheap. Better, worse.
Yeah. Now you're okay. There you go. Stop your downloads of your pornography.
Jeez.
Hey, that's not pornography.
It's just anime. Well, so then I thought, like, the news thing was like in the future, and this was the first one. But then the mystery kid is like, oh no, I've done this before. I'm like, oh, so there wasn't a big issue. It's just something that ran through my head, but that happened. So eventually, what ends up being their old eighth grade teacher, this mm-hmm. class. Gives them all the instructions of you are going to kill each other and you have these collars around your neck that we know what you're going to do, where you are. And if you start jacking around with the game at a push of a button, we can blow this collar up and you will die, which happens in about the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Oh yeah.
Because one of the boys that, actually stabbed the teacher mm-hmm. when they were in eighth grade, mm-hmm. starts acting a fool, mm-hmm. and he's like, okay.
Just take cares of him.
Tick, 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 gosh. I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And it's not like a huge explosive, hurt everyone around you explosive. No, it's just blowing out your throat.
Yeah.
Just, it's very controlled,
mm-hmm.
which is terrifying. And then he throws a knife and stabs a girl in the forehead because she's whispering during the video.
Mm-hmm.
What's that video? Was freaky, like they're like, oh yeah, everyone's here, we're going to kill each other now.
Yeah.
Like, oh dang, this is terrifying. So eventually this group of, once they start as 39 kids plus two random students,
mm-hmm.
who none of them, no one really knows who they are, but they are also part of the game, and so they set out, and I mean, they kids start, some kids take it differently, some kids go right away and they start one of the main characters they follow out runs out, and a girl runs up to him and has an arrow through her neck
because okay, yeah.
one of the first boys shot her with his compound bow that he happened to have in his bag,
mm-hmm.
and some kids take it differently. There's a couple kids, they jump off some cliff because they just can't have, they don't have it in them to
mm-hmm.
kill anyone. There's a band of boys that try to overthrow the game,
mm-hmm.
and take it apart, which they succeed pretty much. I mean,
yeah, because they're trying to block the collars.
Yeah, trying to block the collars, and it happens, and then the other kid kills them.
Yeah, some kids decide to team up together. Yeah, like there's that group of girls that are in the compound
lighthouse, and then that falls apart really quick. It was overarching. It was really violent, and then you had different sections of the movie would focus on different characters. One of the somewhat unpopular girls starts just brutally murdering everyone, and it was bloody.
So what do you take away from this? I mean, it's been a while. It's been such a long time since I've seen this. I was going to try to watch it before our discussion, but you know, the girl that is in that's in Kill Bill. She's the really psychopath girl that's in this movie. You know, she's just will do anything and everything to try and kill her opponents.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
she
yeah,
revels yeah. in the killing. And there's totally, a couple of totally. Them that really get off on the killing.
Yeah. One of the transfer student kids is, he actually volunteered to be in the game. Mm-hmm. And so he is just like Rambo and just taking people out with his machine gun, which never ran out of bullets. Never ran out of bullets. Don't know how that worked.
And of course, you had a.
It's the future.
Well, of course.
Things are different.
And then, of course, you also have a love story developing between the main female and male protagonist. Where they decide at the end that they're going to escape off the island.
Right.
And they do. They succeed.
They do.
And then they go into the underground, which kind of sets up Battle Royale, too, I guess. I've never seen that
movie. Which I've heard. The ending.
I think in Battle Royale, too, they have to kill each other in order to save the youth center.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Yeah. From what I read about Battle Royale, too, it's a new class of students comes, and then the subplot is those two trying to take out the game.
Oh, okay.
While the other kids are also
Shua and Noriko are the two.
Yeah,
they're declared fugitive murderers.
Right.
Last seen on the run at the end.
So have you watched the director's cut?
I have. That's the one that I saw.
Okay, yeah. So like they had those like three Requiem scenes at the
mm-hmm,
end.
Mm-hmm.
Those were weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of them, yeah, the
one of them
sequence
was
with the teacher and
yeah, that's what ended it. That mm-hmm. was really weird, and I was just like, what the f?
Yeah, where he kind of has a thing.
Yeah, he totally has a thing, which you get from the original, the theatrical cut of the movie mm-hmm. when he does that painting of all the kids dead, but
she's
like sitting in the middle, like some like angel, and mm-hmm. If he's gonna die, he wants her to kill him.
Yeah,
which doesn't happen. There's just a lot of the ending kind of made me like, what the f? And then I just kind of thought about it for like the next like day and a half just about the movie. And there was just a lot of interesting characters and just the over like theme of the government controlling the kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
have you ever read the book Lord of the Flies?
Mm-mm.
Matthew, give him a breakdown of Lord of the Flies, please.
Lord of the Flies is actually one that we had to read in high school.
Yeah.
And I believe Lord of the Flies has to do, is it a shipwreck?
Yeah, it's a plane wreck or a shipwreck. I forget which one.
Remember how this happened. This group of
your downloads are interfering with your
I can always.
let me turn off this.
Yeah, why don't you turn off that?
Yeah.
There you are.
See if that's messing things up.
Nah, it's you. Go on. So, Lord of the Flies,
someone else.
Shipwreck, plane wreck, something. These kids get washed up on an island. All boys.
Yes. And they are marooned on an island. And basically, it is the short version of the breakdown of society.
Right.
They start by living all together, and then somebody decides to be in charge. And then the individual start fighting against the group, and then things get wacky, and eventually people end up dying horribly.
Yeah, poor Piggy.
And Piggy gets murdered.
Poor Piggy.
Yeah.
And it just turns into an all-out, let's kill the weak.
Yeah.
You know, strong shall overcome the weak. And to an extent, you can take Lord of the Flies and you can extend it into Battle Royale mm-hmm. to where they're forced into this situation where they have to kill.
Mm-hmm.
But you start to see allegiances and alliances and you start to see the society breakdown occurring in this limited situation of what's going on, and the fact that, I don't know, you've seen this movie, Matthew, or not?
I watched a little bit of it, but it was one of those things where I was watching TV and doing something else at the same time.
Oh, okay, okay.
And I can't watch something subtitled unless I'm focusing on it.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
So I'm familiar with how it goes. I've seen, you know, bits and pieces of it here and there.
And, of course, you've seen the trailer, so...
Oh yeah, I've seen the trailer. Plus, I read Avengers Arena number 1, which I heard is exactly like it.
Well, you know, I guess part of the message here is that given any situation, people are going to just kill each other no matter what. And very few people are going to redeem themselves and do the right thing. I mean, the character of, I think her name is Kiriyama is the girl, I want to say.
Yeah.
The girl who survives?
No. The girl that's the psychopath that will do anything, including using sex as her weapon to kill her enemies.
That's her.
Kazuo Kiriyama.
Yeah. It is. She is just... She is probably the... I don't want to say she's the scariest character in cinema.
Oh, wait, no. Mitsuku.
Doesn't she have a brain injury?
What did you say, Zach?
Mitsuku is the girl.
Kiriyama. The one who I'm thinking of?
Yeah, the girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if she has a brain injury or brain... I mean, at one point, I think she gets stabbed in the head or something. Do you remember, Zach? But she doesn't start out...
Somebody has a brain injury.
I'm looking at the... Because not all of the... That was one thing I think... I want to... Try to find either the novel or the manga because I mm-hmm. feel like there's a lot of backstories.
I've got that
didn't get played out in the movie because of due to time and all the different characters that I think would probably get fleshed out more in the manga.
And I've not read the book, but I've got the entire, and it's a mega volume of manga of mm-hmm. this. I think it's like 22 volumes.
Yeah, I was looking at Amazon, it's huge.
And a lot more sex, a lot more nudity, a lot more graphic sex, because Miruyama uses sex as her weapon, and it gets pretty, you know, she's letting some guy, she's having sex with some guy, just knife him right as he's having an orgasm, and it's, yeah, it's pretty intense.
Best time to knife people.
I guess. You know, I think it would also be interesting. It's interesting that you said you're interested in reading the book, because there is so much more that goes on in the manga than in the movie,
right,
because of time constraints and various other reasons. I wonder if this would be a good examination, because, you know, this, I think it even, I think we mentioned before that it was also a stage play.
Whoa. Holy crap.
Yeah. So it's a book. It's a manga, it's a movie, and I believe it's a stage play. I may be wrong on that
Good
one.
Lord,
it's
that'd
a
be
breath
insane.
Mint.
It may be a breath mint, a bloody, bloody breath mint. Tastes like copper. But this might be something as an interesting examination, Zach, to go through and say, how does the story get adjusted based on the medium that it's in, right? To examine. In film, you've got a time limit, or you've got a kind of a self-imposed time limit.
Right,
sure, you
could
make a 6-hour movie, but no one's going to sit through a 6-hour movie or a 20-hour opera. Yeah. And you can only go so far with the violence. Now, unfortunately, you know, and this is one of my big complaints or one of my big concerns, is that I'll go, especially with Citizen Kane, is I say this is a very important movie for people to watch. Mm-hmm. And people are like, well, why? It's because, well, all those things that you see today have their origin point here.
Yeah.
And Battle Royale is kind of the same way. I had seen, I don't remember, when did Saw come out, Matthew?
2006, maybe?
So Battle Royale came out in 2000, and the first Saw movie was the one where it really had a lot of, I thought, gory violence in it, right? Battle Royale, I think, surpasses Saw. Right. And Saw came out before. I'm sorry. Battle Royale came out before Saw. And when I saw this on DVD, I sat there and watched it at home. And I was like, oh, my God, no wonder this movie has never been released in the United States, because, oh, my God, you know, it's intense. It's intense. It's graphic. It is. I mean, just everything. The story is good.
Yes.
But it is just so intense for audiences. And unfortunately, one of the big reasons why it was never released here in the United States is that it was released at around the same time that Columbine happened. And so they were like, with everything that's going on at Columbine, there's no way we are bringing this to the United States. So that's one of the reasons it never made it to the United States. I mean, now you can get it on DVD and iTunes and all of that. But this is one of the first times that I'd actually seen that level of bloody violence in any kind of media.
Yeah.
I guess RoboCop, to an extent, you had some, but not over the top like the way Battle Royale is.
No, it's intense.
And so this being the first time you've seen this movie, did it come as a shock to you?
There's definitely some scenes of shock. The neck collar.
Yeah.
It was quite shocking. And then when the crazy transfer student lopped off a kid's head and then stuck a grenade in his mouth and then threw it through a window to try to kill some people, that was quite shocking.
Does
the girls going at each other was also shocking.
The ones that were holed up in the house together?
Yeah.
Where they were poisoning each other?
When she poisons that girl and she like throws up like her guts.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
All of her guts.
Yeah.
Yes. But when you watch a movie like, I don't know, what's another over-the-top violent movie? When you watch the Saw movies, or have you seen Driver? Did you see that Driver movie?
Oh, Drive, yeah.
You know, where he's stomping that guy
intense.
To death at the end?
Yeah.
Are you, and again, you kind of watch these out of order, are you more or less desensitized to the violence in Battle Royale after you've seen the Saw movies and Drive and some of these others? Kill Bill?
Probably. Yeah, I think, because, I mean, I mentioned those, like, three instances where it was, like, really shocking just because, like, just what was happening was, I've never seen that before. But I think overall, probably desensitized a little bit. I mean, I'd watched Django Unchained, like, 6 hours before that, and that is a bloody mess. And then, Yeah, I mean,
especially
but probably
at the end when somebody knocks down the tower.
Sure.
Django unchained.
Different Django. Different Django.
Crap.
Probably do. I would say probably to an extent. I think we probably see. Probably is a little bit, but that was still pretty horrible.
Yeah, but so if you were to now put yourself in, if you would have seen this movie in 2000, would you have been able to say, and this would probably have been your first exposure to anything like that?
I would have been 9.
So when you went to go see Saw, or when you went to go see Kill Bill,
couldn't see Saw.
He could see Saw when he was 9. Sure, he could.
That's was like 13 when Saw came out.
Yeah.
He would not be able to see Saw.
Yes, he would.
He was actually on the seesaw.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you see how
there's that progression of here's this defining moment of violence, of violent cinema? People could say, you know, you could even go back and say the Bonnie and Clyde scene, their death scene is an over the top violence, but
or that the ending of the Wild Bunch.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at all of those, but I mean, you get to this point, and then you're like, okay, now we're putting two people in a room, and we're asking them to cut off or kill each other in order to get out. Now we're looking at
I can't
this
imagine
scene where
like.
There's a sword fight in the House of the Lotus Blossom or whatever it is, and we're just killing people left and right. And you can see where some of these things kind of start and build and kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger as we go on.
Totally. I think if this would have been allowed to release in theaters in America when it came out, it totally wouldn't have been wide release. There's just no freaking way.
Yeah, I think it'll. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, because I'm almost certain that they are doing an American version of this after the Hunger Games did well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and
no,
I think it'll be
certainly.
Interesting to see what an American sensibility does and what they do and what they don't
do. What's going to be funny is
American Battle Royale.
But here's what's going to be funny. They do a Battle Royale, or even if they were to wide release this, I have a feeling most audiences would say, oh, well, all they're doing is ripping off the Hunger Games.
Oh, totally.
So having watched both of those movies, where do you see similarities and where do you see differences? And do you see where one could possibly be have influenced the other?
Oh, yeah. When I was watching this, I was telling my girlfriend about it because she loves the Hunger Games.
I was going to ask, did you make your girlfriend watch Battle Royale with you?
Oh, good Lord, no. I explained like 3 parts. So I was like, no, it wasn't even an option. Like,
okay.
This never would have happened.
Okay.
Yeah, you can totally tell where they I'm assuming she took influence from and then probably lightened it for little kids.
She swears she never heard of it.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing is that she swears up and down that she'd never heard of this.
Like selecting of the kids actually had purpose in Hunger Games.
Right.
This is your food. This is just like random.
Right.
This is happening to keep people in line.
Right.
A guy and a girl both survive the game at the end,
mm-hmm.
just like the Hunger Games. I think a lot of the character moments kind of reflect some of the Hunger Games. You can definitely tell. I mean, if she didn't, that's great, but there's a lot of similarities.
From a cinematic standpoint,
mm-hmm.
from the cinematography, from the editing, from the pacing, what can you take from Battle Royale and use to your advantage going forward?
First off, I thought of, if I'm ever going to make a really hyper-violent movie, make it in Japan, because the rating on this movie in Japan was no one under 15.
Okay.
Which was like, well, you should probably go to Japan and make a hyper-violent movie. What did I say?
Were there any sequences or were there any moments that you were just like, oh, how cool is that?
I think there was a lot of just like character moments that they played out really well through editing, and they like pick it up really quick and then they drop it. One of the sequences towards the end when the main girl I've been following through the whole time was running out to meet the main boy. I always forget their names. But there was also a girl chasing her and the crazy sexy girl.
Right.
She's about ready to shoot him.
Right.
And then it's ramping up this entire thing. And then she just like runs away, and the director of the game standing there with an umbrella
mm-hmm.
and gives it to her. Like that was so freak. Like that was freaking weird. And I had no idea what was going on, but it built it up into a way that, through the editing that is like, oh shit, she's going to die. Like
yeah,
she's
yeah.
dead.
Yeah.
And then they show the crazy girl's face and she's like gets terrified and just takes off.
Right.
And then they finally go, they do a wide shot of her and the director. So I think the editing was, I mean, the editing was really well done.
Okay. So you can use some of that to heighten drama and...
Oh, yes.
I forget, this was a limited palette, wasn't it? Wasn't it like almost black and white? That's what I want to say, but maybe not. I just seem to remember that,
everything was a muted tone. It was totally, really muted, okay. Now that I think about it.
Which kind of made some of the violence maybe even more graphic. I don't remember. It's been so long since I've watched that stuff, but I always remember it in my mind that it was more black and white than color.
The morning after I watched it, I ordered the deluxe version off of Amazon.
Oh, did
so
you?
It'll be here on Thursday.
Through that link at majorspoilers.com.
Of course, and that and more movies.
Get a little kickback from us. And listeners, if you want to go pick up a movie or many, many, many other movies that young Zach may be watching in the weeks and months to come, head over to majorspoilers.com, click on that Amazon.link, go ahead and buy it. It'll still cost you the same amount, still get you at the same time, so whatever really shipping cheap. That you do, it's really
like $17
cheap. I actually had to order from Japan to get mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, I had to find a person who was like an intermediary, because you can't order it directly from the Japanese reseller, so you had to go through someone else, third-party person. Yeah. That's how I get all my...
Now you're on a list.
Probably. I mean, it's really weird, because when that movie came in, it was basically wrapped in a brown paper, like butcher paper, like a grocery sack paper, mm-hmm. written on there in handwriting, stamped with all the stamps, and tied up with twine. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And even the stuff that I've imported from China, the Feng Sai Yuks and other stuff, have come in that way, where it's just, you can tell it's an individual who has done that. And it's kind of interesting to see those come in. But yeah, listeners, Amazon.com, that link over at Major Spoilers, a little bit comes back our way. And we appreciate everyone who buys through that, because it floats money back our way and allows us to do some great things. And you may, listeners, be getting a hint of things to come with Major Spoilers in the year 2013. So, final verdict, Zach, on Battle Royale. You said you liked it so much that you bought the movie.
Yes.
Is this something that you would recommend to all film students or people who are interested in film?
Yep. I think the violence and how they handled the violence in a way that it could have just been over the top, just for the sake of being over the top, but the fact that they can put a solid through line with so many characters, mm-hmm. and have a commentary on social breakdown and government and stuff through it, I think from a storytelling aspect, it's great. And then how that translates onto film is worthwhile.
Matthew, do subtitles bother you when you're watching movies?
No, actually, they don't. I actually prefer a subtitled movie to a dubbed movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
At least if I'm trying to, you know, enjoy something as a dramatic experience, because even if I don't speak Japanese, I do speak the secondary cues of the language. So if somebody is over there and they're like, "Hakute," you know, okay, that gives me some concept. And when somebody screams out, they're like, "Tore!" You know, you understand the basic gist of what's going on, and then you can just read what they said off the screen. You get that performance, and you get all of the secondary nonverbals, or I guess the vocalizations and the nonverbals in there.
Yeah, but what about just a normal conversation between two French people?
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want the French people to be like, "Je m'appelle Monsieur Beauflet."
Yeah.
You want to hear that.
Do subtitles bother you, Zach?
Point of contention.
Well, he's only been reading for like 5 years.
Well, that's true. Some of my friends like watching subtitled movies that are actually in English, because they feel like they can, I don't know. So I freaking
pay attention more.
I freaking hate
it. Oh, so they turn on the subtitles.
Like, we'll be watching like The Social Network or something. Like, yeah. Oh, we're going to turn the subtitles on. Like, they're speaking English, guys.
Maybe they need their hearing checked.
Like, oh, the
subtitles
in
the film. Is this Jared that does that?
Frick, yes. Like, you just drops. I just dropped so many lines. I can't understand them. I was like, dude, just listen. We don't watch movies a whole lot together anymore. But if he's watching with me, he won't watch them with subtitles on anymore, which is nice, and I thank him for that. But if it's in English, I don't watch with subtitles because it's annoying. Anything else, I'd rather watch it with subtitles. I'm fine with watching subtitles on this. What else I watch subtitles? The Girls with Dragon Tattoo original movies, watch with subtitles.
What's really odd for me when I watch a subtitle movie, and I prefer the natural native language as opposed to a dub, just like you, Matthew. Mm-hmm. But what's really weird is, crap, and I forgot the movie that it happened in. It was one that came out, or that I watched recently.
Crap it.
But, oh, M, the movie M, the silent movie. Rodrigo and I are talking about it.
In the original Chinese.
No, in the original German. It is, you get into the movie so much that at the end where he's pleading for his life at in front of the Court of Thieves, every time I think about that, I think of that sequence in English, hearing him in English, even though I know I was reading a translation and hearing him in German. And that'll often happen, too, when I'm watching a Chinese movie, Japanese movie, Battle Royale, you know, whatever. What's the other one that I watched recently that was really good? I'm going to watch Red Cliff here in a couple of weeks. Ip and Ip Man 2. Ip Man and Ip Man 2. You get so into the character.
Yeah, those are on the Netflix right now.
Are they? I really recommend watching.
Yeah.
I think that's Donnie Yeo is in. I think that's how you say his name.
Yeah, the guy from the Story of Ricky.
Oh, is that who that guy is?
Yeah.
Because He's
the
guy
from the Story of Ricky.
I have just recently just start to love everything that he is in. So if as I'm scrolling through the iTunes, if I see his name pop up, I'm like, I'm buying it or renting it or whatever to watch it. I watch this movie Dragon that he's in, and it's about I'll talk about it another time. But what happens is you get so involved into the story that even though you're reading the subtitles, I get so drawn in that the subtitles are just like, I'm hearing the words. And so when I think back, I'm hearing them having the conversation in English, even though I read the translation. And I don't know if that happens with you guys, especially if it's a really good movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially with Battle Royale, I just glossed over it.
That's definitely. I think in English mostly, my native language is gibberish, but I think mostly in English. And when you know, when I think back, notably, the kid and I are watching Gokaiger
Power Rangers.
Still trying to figure out what we're going to watch. Yeah. I can think back and I can remember these scenes. We sing along with the theme song phonetically in Japanese. But phonetically, we also know what it means in English. So when I think phonetically, I don't know which part of what means what because they're singing.
Right.
Sometimes when you sing, you put the accent on the wrong syllable.
Right.
And you walk like an Egyptian. But more importantly, I think back and I appreciate the fact that you can hear those actors' voices.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear these iterations or I can, you know, see these moments and the language that I'm thinking in is English. I'm not necessarily remembering reading it off the screen.
Right, right.
And it's fascinating because the mind lies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Donnie Yen, man, he is great in just about everything. I mean, if you think when I was first introduced into the martial arts films, it was Jackie Chan. So everything was Jackie Chan. And it's like, oh, this is so cool. And look what he does. And da, da, da. And then Jet Li comes in. And you're like, oh, look at everything Jet Li can do. Oh, wow, this is so cool. Da, da, da. And so for a long time, I'm like, oh, yeah, Jet Li's pretty cool. But I watched Jet Li was in the Flying Swords of Dragon Gate, and I was like, his martial arts skills aren't as good as Donnie Yen's, at least in the choreography. But you watch the Donnie Yen stuff now.
Where's Sammo Hung?
I don't know. I don't know if
I've... Where's Sammo Hung?
Man, the stuff that he is in is just really good. And there's this movie Dragon. I don't know if it is out in the United States yet or not. I think it comes out in... Maybe it just came out. It says it was released in China July 4th of 2011, came out December 2nd, 2012 here in the United States, only on 14 screens. But you can watch it now, and this is what I love about iTunes, is that you can get these movies that are in theaters now, and Dragon is a movie that I'm very conflicted on because it is the story of Donnie Yen. He plays this, he works at a paper mill. It takes place in like 1906, 1920s China. Mm-hmm. He's working at a paper mill and these two thugs come in one day to the grocery store and are threatening to kill the old man if he doesn't give their money. And he steps in and as you witness it, it looks like he is just victim of circumstance. He's wrong place, wrong place, wrong time. But through the fight that goes on and through some incompetence of the people that he's fighting, you believe that everything is just self-defense in the fight. And then this very determined investigator shows up and is like, how can you, a simple peasant person, defeat these two murderers who just got out of jail? And he begins an investigation and finds out that the character that Donnie Yen is playing is a butcher himself, comes from a crime lord family that just murders people almost for fun. And he was the second in command. He's the son of the head of this group. And I'm really conflicted because at the one point you're like, okay, I feel sorry for this guy. He's trying to make a life for himself. He's trying to live tranquilly. But then as it's revealed of who he's killed, and he, the implication is that he did kill children. At one point you're like, I don't like you as a character.
Yeah, right.
How can I have any sympathy for you because of this? But it's a really good movie that has some, I mean, I'm in it for a lot of the martial arts, and it doesn't have as much of the running on water, flying through the air as the Flying Swords of Dragon Gate. But it's a really good movie if people want to check out something that is not set in 927 BC or something like that, as most of these are. But Dragon is one that I watched recently that's really good. But again, you start getting into the story so much that the subtitles just fade away and you're just engrossed in the story.
Right. And that's not the Bruce Lee autobiography.
No, no, no. That's not Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. No, this one is called Dragon. You'll know it when you see it. It's got a red, it's a red banner with a dragon banner running right down the middle. It's very cool. Right. It's only getting a 7 out of 10 up on the IMDb.
That Donnie Yen, he has 4 movies coming out.
What has he got coming out?
Soi Yat Hai, Datsun Sun Fun, The Monkey King, and Enter the Master.
Zach on China.
Soi Yat Hai.
All of which I'm sure I pronounced perfectly.
Yeah, Dragon just came out. Yeah, All's Well That Ends Well. I don't know if that is a...
All's Well That Ends Well 2012.
4 men go on a heroic mission to help 4 women and wind up experiencing a series of mishaps. Now, that could be fun. 5.6 rating out of that. The Monkey King is a story that they tell and retell, I guess because there's so many different incarnations of Tales of the Monkey King. Forbidden Kingdom, I think, has Jet Li and Jackie Chan, and Jackie Chan plays the Monkey King in that. It's pretty good.
I like the poster for the Monkey King.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
It's pretty fun.
That could probably be a really good movie. Enter the Master.
Yeah.
Former fighter. Oh, it's good. I mean, yeah, it looks all good. I can't wait to see a lot of these. Bodyguards and Assassins is another one that he's in that I watched just recently that is really fascinating too, because it is about the lead up to the People's Revolt in China. And it, supposedly it's based on a true story. I mean, it's based on the true events that happened. It's fascinating. Yeah.
True story.
There's only 3 people that they really target out as born on this date, died on this date, and where they were from, in the movie. But it's pretty trippy. It's really good. Now, the trippiest movie that I saw. Go ahead.
It's not that Bodyguard movie where the kid from Meatballs and the guy from Serenity are in it fighting Matt Dillon, right?
No.
Okay.
No. This is Dr. Sun is coming from Japan to meet with all of these heads, or meet with all of these leaders from different parts of China, so that they can rebel against, I think it's the Wu Dynasty. The Qin Dynasty, or the Qing Dynasty. And they are going to try to assassinate Dr. Sun. And so there's this big thing happening in Hong Kong, which is British controlled, and the British don't want anything to do with anything that's going on in China politics. So they basically take a step back and they're going to assassinate Dr. Sun. And so they're trying to get together a group of bodyguards to protect Dr. Sun. And there's this big turnaround plot where they run around the streets of Hong Kong for like an hour while he's secretly meeting with everyone. Mm-hmm. And all the assassins think that this decoy that's running around town is the real guy. And the killing that is going on as they're trying to make sure that this meeting takes place. It's really good. It's got a lot of emotion to it. Really good.
Question for someone who's watched a lot of these Chinese Kung Fu movies. Do a lot of the main stars do a lot of the action directing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they do.
I was just on his page. It's like, oh, he did all the choreography for all these movies.
Yeah, yeah. They often will do that. Especially, I mean, again, Ip Man and Ip Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Ip Man, I think, is better than Ip Man 2. But Ip Man, you can tell that he had to have choreographed everything himself. Some of the stuff that gets into the wire rigging stuff where they're like flying
right.
and jumping and all that stuff, that probably has some other people involved. But yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they're choreographing their own scenes. Man, what's the other one that I saw with him in it that I was just fell in love with? Oh, Highlander Endgame. No, joking. Anyway, lots of really good. I'm really getting into that genre again of films. Do you like these kind of movies, Matthew? Do you like the wushu movies?
I do up to a point. I'm not like a big fan, but I kind of love just the whole, and I lump it all together because frankly, you know, I'm not a huge connoisseur. I like the whole kung fu genre thing. Most of the ones that I've seen are the ridiculous ones.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have the
like the Ricky O, I've seen.
House of Flying Daggers, the House of the Flying Guillotine or whatever it is.
And I'm also old, so, you know, I liked the work of Bruce Lee and all the 30 guys who pretended to be Bruce Lee after Bruce Lee died.
Yeah.
There was Bruce Lee with an I, and there was Bruce Liu, I believe there was, but. For me, it's all about things like looking for the bits of Bruce Lee's actual funeral in the released American version of Game of Death, which seems incredibly horrifying to me. But yeah, I like them up to a point. I like the choreography and the kiki fighting. I don't necessarily like wireworks fighting as much, but I still appreciate it.
And that was the one thing, you know, again, watching these Donnie Yen movies, I'm like, oh, you can tell that they're doing very little. I mean, it's fighting. I mean, it's real grace.
Yeah.
But then you watch something like the Jet Li, and I'm going back to Flying Swords at Dragon's Gate because it's the most recent one that I've seen. And it is just like wire work after wire work where it's, I mean, and I appreciate the whole let's run on water, dance on the bamboo and fly through the air kind of stuff. But it's so obvious that, you know, there is wire rig removal going on. And going back to Slappy's comment from last week, a lot of rotoscoping is the wire removing and just the body part that needs to be painted out so that you can insert, you know, whatever in its place.
Right.
A lot of that goes on in rotoscoping, and it's pretty apparent in some of these too. And I don't mind it, but I like the stuff that really is showing off the super fast punches or the super fast kicks or whatever that's going on. So.
See, and that's why I think you should watch some of the original Japanese Power Rangers, because some of the choreography is just amazing. And the battle sequence where all of the Rangers show up and there's like 180 guys in superhero suits and 180 guys in mook suits just fighting and fighting and fighting. It's a beautiful thing, man.
You know
it
what,
is a beautiful thing.
You know what my son and I just discovered in the last day or so? Aquabats.
What's that?
Aquabats Super Show.
Yeah,
you guys watch that?
No.
Aquabats.
Oh, my gosh. Listeners, this is another one of those. If you like Power Rangers, here's something that's better than Power Rangers. It's Aquabats. How would you describe this? How would you describe Aquabats, Matthew, their super show? Aquabats Super Show.
Well, it's...
By day, they're rockers. By nights, they're superheroes.
Yeah, what if the monkeys were the Fantastic Four, really?
Yes,
or
exactly.
Actually, to be honest, what if the monkeys were the Impossibles? Because their show is fascinating because one member of the group is a robot.
Right.
And one member of the group is just insane. I like the fact that they've been around for a while.
Oh, yeah, as a group.
The Aquabats in like 90s.
Yeah, 94, I think, is when they started as a band. And I guess as part of their show, their stage show, they incorporate a lot of we are real superheroes. He's a real robot. Villains jump up on stage and they're fighting these
Jimmy
guys.
Jimmy the robot.
Yeah.
And it's only been in the last year that they got this TV show.
Mm-hmm. And the Aquabat Super Show, really, I feel like it takes a lot from the monkeys because it's kind of that same sort of thing where you have the crazy sort of wackiness going on, but then you also have, you know, Crash McLarson growing 30 feet tall and smashing everything in sight.
Because he can't control his emotions.
It's just fun. It's fun, and it's something that if you go in and try and take it apart as realistic superheroes.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Well, then you're an idiot.
Well, that's what I say. And that's why I said it's kind of, it's, if you like Power Rangers, you probably will like this because they also fight giant rubber monsters and they also are a band of heroes that, that fight together. And of course they play their own instruments. Unlike Power Rangers, these guys play their own instruments.
That's
wait,
right.
So is this a cartoon or is it live action?
Kimberly, it is a live action show that has a cartoon built into it.
Okay.
And you can catch this on Netflix right now is where it's at. That's where we caught
on YouTube.
We caught it last night on Netflix. And, I was like, well, I know what the Aquabats are. People talk about it. Mason, go ahead and watch it. And we'll sit here for an hour and watch Aquabats. We went through about three episodes.
Yeah.
And what's funny is,
and Steven loves it because the leader has no powers and has bat in his,
he's pretty good. MC Bat Commander.
Yes.
But what's funny, and Mason picked up on this right away, when they start the next episode, they're like, previously in Aquabats, and then they'll show you like some highlights from the previous episode, mm-hmm. but then they'll throw in shots and scenes that were not at all in the previous episode. And the boy's sitting there and he's like, hey, wait a minute, that wasn't in the last episode. I'm like, I know, that's the joke. And then he's like, oh, I get it. And he starts laughing. And it's just like, I don't think you do, but go ahead and enjoy it now. But
and the one of the
cool
very
special
best
effects
superhero names of all time, Eagle Bones Falconhawk.
Yes,
what a great name!
I know,
that is such a
Ricky Fitness.
I wish I had thought of that because that is a great name.
I like Crash McLarson.
Eagle Bones Falconhawk.
They've
Crash
got some
McLarson is good.
They have some good special effects in this too. Crash can grow to super size because he can't control his emotions, and it's very well done. In those effects. And I mean, there's
one practical effects too.
And to some extent, I mean, there are some graphical effects, like when he's growing, where he gets this blue outline and he's growing up and you see the video feedback, fading away of him. And I'm just like, oh, this is like Super Chief. from the Super Friends. But then in this one episode, Man Ant is the villain that they're meeting in the first episode, and Man Ant lures Crash into this moving van with this little fake puppy, and he gets in there and he's like, I'm so mad, and he starts growing, and they cut away to the outside of the truck and you see the truck kind of shaking, mm-hmm. and then they cut back in, and again it's a practical effect because they've got him now in this small miniaturized truck and he's cramped in there. He goes, mm-hmm. curse these reinforced moving vans, and it's just really 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 great. But and again, part of the humor, when they first see Man Ant's symbol and everything, they go, uh-oh, this looks like it's Manat again. And then when they meet him for the first time, he's like, I am Man Ant. Aren't you supposed to pronounce it Manat? It's just really good. I don't know who the target audience is for this, because I was tickled. My son was tickled.
You?
This morning. Yes, it is me. And I like it. And I thought it was funny.
Yep.
It's also good for kids, too. So the Aquabats,
Space
if you haven't
Monster
seen
them.
All right. I was going to do best and worst of 2012. Do we want to do that, or we want to skip it for another time?
I think we should hold a week because, you know, I haven't really thought about 2012. I'm still, it's only been over for like 13 hours.
Yeah.
At this point in time. So I'm not necessarily ready to give it a postmortem. I think we should hold off and do it next week when Rigo is back, and then we'll have one of those two-hour-long shows where we all argue about what was good.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And it can be everything. I mean, anything and everything. Could be personal, could be sites-wise, could be comics, could be movies, could be anything good or bad of 2012. Yes, the site is majorspoilers.com. No, that's not the site. My task for Matthew in 2013...
Yes.
Is to replace all of his Power Ranger pictures in the question of the day with pictures of the Aquabats.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. You know what? I will go back and not do that. But if you'd like, in the next 10 to 15 days, I will put an Aquabats reference in secretly.
No, you just put the picture in.
Into the question of the day.
Just put the picture in. Because I think we all know what the Power Rangers know what fun. Look like by now, so...
Dude,
let's see.
There's 35 teams teams. I am only halfway through the.
I know
first
that's what's great about
years.
The Aquabats. There's only one team.
One.
I haven't put any five man up.
Yeah. All right. I think that will wrap it up for this week's installment, or this day's installment of the Major Spoilers Podcast. Got so many
this
other shows. Yeah, next week. I know we're people are like, oh, I wish you guys would get back into a regular schedule at top five. And we had the holidays. Rodrigo's out.
Yeah.
We just didn't want to. We're trying to keep the team together, man.
Yeah.
We don't want to screw it up. So next week he'll be back. Next week probably looks to be a long week for all of us, because next week I'm going to bet we're recording multiple Major Spoilers, top five. Oh crap! Do we? No, we're not ready for a Munchkin Land yet, are we? Was Munchkin? Oh, we've got
no,
Super Munchkin still to
couple.
Do, right?
Yeah,
Super Munchkin still to go.
Munchkin,
but we've also, I think, we're recording Critical Hit next week. So Tuesday and Wednesday, Wednesday and Thursday next week are going to be long nights. Thank goodness
are
Zach
we?
Didn't have to go back to school. I think it is, isn't
yeah.
it? I don't know. We'll have to look.
I don't go back to school for.
Are we?
I don't know. I haven't seen it on my calendar, and I have to talk to Rodrigo. So, we have to, because this upcoming weekend is the last. Is the last one that we have in the can. So unless we're going to have a skip week.
Just kick the can down the street. Kids used to do that when you guys were kids, right?
Not when we were kids.
Oh, no. Farther back?
Like maybe when our grandparents were kids.
Oh, okay. No can kicking for you
No
guys.
Can kicking for us.
Got it.
We just kicked ass.
Oh.
That's what we did.
Oh, I see yeah, what you did there.
Yeah, that's how you get
That's not really not that nice. You really shouldn't beat people up.
Oh, I'm a pacifist. I don't fight.
Oh, good.
Not after that time I killed a guy. For being a jackass, Zach. All right, everybody. Thanks for downloading. Thanks
Zach,
for tuning
okay.
in.
Zach has nothing to worry about, because if you were going to kill anybody for being a jackass, it would be a solo show long before Zach ever got here. And that solo would be Skrull Bryant.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up. Thank you so much for downloading. Thank you for being part of the Major Spoilers experience. Remember, you can contact us at podcast.majorspoilers.com, the website Major Spoilers, and the phone number 785-727-1939 if you want to call us. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us at Major Spoilers, at Zach Braff, no, at Z Wolf,
no.
and at Snarky Fat Dude.
I wish I had Zach Braff.
Mighty King Cobra, at Fearsome Critter. And I think that's about it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
I may change it to we Snarky will. King Fat Dude.
That'd be pretty funny. Might already be taken. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Bye.
If I had the X-ray vision of a Superman, I could save some bucks and stand around and read through the covers of the comics on the rack. And although every other page would be backwards, I suppose, I could still read the evens and the odds. Well, I don't know. Guess I haven't thought this all the way through. Plus, as soon as the comic book store guy knew, he'd make me wait out on the corner. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Away. If I was Hulk in green or gray, I could bust through that brick wall, take their comic books away. But then the little me would deal with all the tanks and bombs and guns. Have you tried to read a series with all that going on? Guess I need to rethink this plan. How would you bag and board your comics with such huge hands? Guess I already told ya. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. What a major spoiler. Yeah, 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 yeah. What a major spoiler.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2013.